Hello from the Bio-Rad headquarters and welcome to our Gene Editing Podcast Part 2, How CRISPR is Shaking Up R&D. I'm your host, Laura Moriarty, and in the Bioradiation studio, we have Jan Juvenot, our resident CRISPR expert. Welcome, Jan.
Hi, Laura.
So today we're asking Jan to give us a quick overview of the many ways that gene editing, specifically CRISPR, is shaking up drug discovery. So Jan, can you give us a little background on how hard it is to create disease models and how CRISPR is enabling faster and cheaper disease models?
Absolutely. Back in the Stone Age, when I was in the lab, creating a disease model actually was a very complex process. You basically needed to create random mutations in cells. You didn't have actually a lot of different cells to choose from. So some cell lines would actually be prone to more double-stranded breaks and mutations on both copies of a gene. And from there, you would culture cells and go through a very labor-intensive screening process, select the cells that actually had that mutation, introduce those cells into mouse embryos, and from there try to pray and hope that they would get into the germline. After that, you had to cross those mice and establish a fully homozygous mutated mouse or rat line that possessed a mutation.
So how long did that take? How much did it cost?
It was a very long process. And many, many, many grad students and postdocs have paid blood, sweat, and tears for it. It could take really easily 2 years and cost upwards of $50,000 to generate a mouse model. And the success rate would rarely be up to not even 50%.
Oh my goodness.
So scientists really needed something better because they knew what they could do with the right mutation model.
Got it. Yep. So how does CRISPR help?
So CRISPR is a tool that has radically democratized and sped up the process of introducing those mutations. When it would cost a lot of cell work or a lot of money to order an actual engineered ZFN or TAL protein, now it costs about $30 to order a new guide RNA, and your plasmids are usually for free. And it can take about 2 months to generate a mouse line, or a cell line, sorry.
So from 2 years down to 2 months.
Correct. And right. The success rate is astronomically better, up to about 85% or more.
So that is just, I mean, from 2 years to 2 months, that's just amazing. And so with that in mind, how are more clinically relevant model systems being created using CRISPR? You know, how is CRISPR helping with that?
So the great thing about CRISPR is that it enables you to study completely different cell lines from what you had before. And not only that, it allows you also to go for species that you would not have access to before. A funny example that I recently found out about is that they have recently used CRISPR to make ferret models of for influenza transmission. And the advantage of ferrets over mice is that ferrets actually sneeze when they're infected with the virus. So,
achoo!
There you go. They are also extremely smart and sneaky animals. So CRISPR really allows R&D efforts to overcome that obstacle. And, you know, it also enables you to study more than just monogenic diseases. You know, in the past, when you're studying something, you're going to study something that affects just one gene. It's mm-hmm. going to be your CFTR or mm-hmm. some myosin gene or something like that. But you couldn't really dream of approaching complex diseases.
Got it.
CRISPR allows you to multiplex in a totally different order. For instance, scientists at eGenesis have recently been able to edit the pig genome in 62 different locations.
62?
In a single experiment. Before that, you know, it would take a scientist his whole career and more to even come close to generating that. These models, for instance, have been used to generate extremely accurate models for liver or lung cancer, and they are mimicking much better the biology that is seen in patients.
Wow. So with all of that in mind, you know, we've also heard that CRISPR doesn't actually have to cut or edit a gene to have an effect, and something called gene regulation is now being performed using CRISPR.
That's correct. So CRISPR, as you know already, uses the Cas9 enzyme, which is the enzyme that cuts the DNA in double strands. So what scientists have done is they've employed an inactivated version of Cas9, dCas9 or dead Cas9. And they fuse this dCas9 domain to regulatory domains, such as a repressor domain. Then you can target certain promoter regions with guide RNAs and downregulate up to 99% of the expression of a certain gene. Similarly, you can fuse your dCas9 to an activator domain and now upregulate the expression of certain genes. And this allows you an extra layer of control that can be added to these experiments. You can also even do, you know, photo-inducible or chemically inducible systems that allow you to mimic, you know, diseases that are age or developmental stage related. You can even target, you know, with light and everything, allow for a more spatially controlled regulation of certain genes.
So what about epigenetics? How does CRISPR play a role there?
So again, we make use of dCas9, which can be used just to bind the DNA once it recognizes the guide RNA. So dCas9 can also be fused to histone acetylation or deacetylation domains, or actually methylation or demethylation domains. In doing so and in binding certain promoters, you can see what results can be obtained by changing the epigenetic pattern of certain genes or chromatin regions. And this is extremely important because certain diseases, such as autism or cancer, have inherent epigenetic causes. And so it's really, really vital to be able to mimic that.
Sounds like a great tool. And it sounds to me like CRISPR's going to have such a big impact.
It already has. You know, every month you hear of new applications or even new forms of CRISPR, new ways to use the technology. And you have, you know, industry leaders like the Jackson Laboratory partnering with startups like Caribou in Berkeley to incorporate CRISPR into their workflow to generate mouse models faster and at a lower cost. You have giants of the pharma world like AstraZeneca and Novartis who enter in partnerships to use CRISPR for drug screening and validation. So no doubt about it, CRISPR is redefining what is possible for R&D and is pushing the boundaries of those possibilities much, much further than we ever envisioned.
Well, thank you, Jan. They are some really, really great insights. And thanks for listening, folks. We hope that you enjoyed learning about how CRISPR is shaking up biopharma R&D. And please listen out for other podcasts from our bioradiations team here at the Bio-Rad headquarters. We're going to cover a range of interesting life science topics, so stay tuned. But for now, it's bye from me, and it's bye from Jan.
Bye, Laura. Keep it crisp.